Last night, Bill Shorten gave his budget reply speech in the Parliament, promising to outdo the government's 1.5% company tax rate for small business, proposing a 5% tax cut instead over time. He also included increased spending and reducing revenue, university scholarships, writing off HECS debts for science and maths, and teaching computer coding in every school. The opposition leader joins us now in our Parliament House studios. Bill Shorten, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
There's a few new policies in your budget reply. Why didn't you propose new spending cuts to pay for them?
Well, we're the only opposition in living memory who's put up costed revenue measures halfway through a term of the first term of the government. We've proposed $7 billion, north of that, to be clawed back off foreign multinationals. We've also proposed north of $14 billion to tackle unsustainable concessions at the very top end for people who already have multi-million dollar piles of superannuation in retirement. So I actually have to say, Fran, that we put up, and again I repeated it last night, north of $21 billion. This is a real opportunity for Tony Abbott to reach out across the aisle and say, all right, and we'll give him the political cover to make these hard decisions.
But you keep proposing it. I know you've got those on the table. You've had that on the table for a few months now. But you've also blocked tens of billions of dollars of savings measures the government had in its first budget. And you're proposing new ideas. This $21 billion you've got on the table, it's not a magic pudding. You can't keep paying for everything with the same pot of money.
Well, first of all, Fran, what we're doing is we're calmly and methodically working for our policies about the future of Australia. But your first question was saying, hey, you're the opposition, you've proposed turbocharging science and mathematics and the technical skill base of our children in the future. How do you pay for it? And what I've said is that proposal that we've put forward is costed. It's about $350 million and it's going to provide 100,000 HECS support, 100,000 students doing science over the next 5 years. We've costed all of that. I think we are actually setting new rules for how the opposition should conduct itself. We've put up costed policies for revenue. We're trying to get the conversation beyond the next opinion poll into the next decade. I think Australians want to see less just mindless negativity and more about where will the jobs of the future come from, and that's what I was doing last night.
And good ideas are good ideas, and costing them is a good idea too. You've still got to pay for them though, and you say this is all about the future. The Liberals themselves say the government says their budget won't be balanced for at least 4 years, surplus just beyond that. Here you are increasing spending with ideas like that and decreasing tax with your proposal and the small business tax. I mean, how much longer is it going to take you under your plan to reach a balanced budget?
Well, first of all, there's a big assumption in your question, which I'm not sure is sustained by the facts. That is that this current government's actually doing anything about getting spending under control. The experts have observed about this budget on Tuesday night. You've been around, Fran. You can read a budget book as well as most people. You know this government over the forwards is increasing spending. It's outstripping the revenue they're raising. Furthermore, they're not tackling the long-term debt. 12 months ago when Joe Hockey stood up to give his budget, the deficit was $17 billion. 12 months later, when they can't blame Labor, it's now $35 billion. They've got heroic forecasts. Do you know they assume that in the next 2 years...
Yeah, but with respect, that was exactly what was said of you, of the Labor government, in the last four budgets, and kept promising surpluses, couldn't delivering them, arguing the revenue had collapsed, the world economic climates had changed, and the government was, and the then opposition was saying exactly the same things about you and your forecast.
What's different about me and the Labor Party that I lead is that last night, not only did we look at the hoax nature of the Tuesday night budget, everyone knows it wasn't an economic piece of paper, everyone knows it was a political piece of paper, is that what I'm saying is that the government have missed the big issues. They've called the economy wrong. In 2014, they called it for austerity and harsh, unfair cuts. They got it wrong and they killed confidence. In 2015, they should have been addressing long-term measures, building the skills of the Australian workforce, giving greater certainty to infrastructure, talking about the jobs of the future. Instead, you and I know that they've just encouraged a giveaway for a fire sale, a short-term stimulus measure for people to go and spend some money, But the problem with that is that where was the plan for the next decade? This country does not have time to waste on policies which just go to the next opinion poll. We need policies which will mean that we have a more secure, growth-based, confident future for the next 5, 10 and 15 years. That is the political frame that I'm operating on. It's the future.
But on the one hand, you describe the 1.5% cut to small business, as you say, as a giveaway and a fire sale, so very, derisory about it. And the next breath, you're saying, let's go better, let's do a 5% cut.
Yeah, because
where's the consistency in that?
Oh, it's absolutely consistent. What I understand is I get the economy. I live in the real world. I've spent my whole adult life representing people. I've seen the good times and bad times in factories and industry and construction and all over Australia and farms. What I understand is what a budget can do is, whilst a budget is not the economy, a budget is an important part of the economy. Its priorities tell Australians about where we're going. What we need is confidence, not just confidence in the short term, confidence in the long term. The reason why I offered a bipartisan approach to the future of tax reform in advance of the taxation white paper is I recognise that what we need is people to have the encouragement to invest in the long term. It's all about confidence. If Australians think, get up in the morning, if they've got a spring in their step, if they've got a sense of the possibilities in the next 5, 10 and 15 years, if they know that there is certainty in the short-term politics is taken out of the big infrastructure decisions, if they know that their kids are getting trained for the jobs of the future, that gives you confidence. That's why I think 5% is a statement. You're right. There needs to be a lot of things done. But we all know that on Tuesday night with Joe Hockey's budget was all about, Joe Hockey and Tony Abbott keeping their own jobs to the end of the year, frankly, and it's not about the next 10, 15, 20 years.
It's 17 to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is the opposition leader, Bill Shorten. Last night he gave the opposition leader's budget reply speech. You said in an interview last night after that speech, Bill Shorten, the only way the big reforms can be achieved is by Labor and Liberal working together, oppositions and governments working together. But in fact, most of the historic achievements under Labor, for instance, were opposed by the Liberals. I'm thinking means testing the pension, the Accord, compulsory superannuation, Medicare. John Howard brought in the GST, not with Labor support. The carbon tax was the Rudd-Gillard government, not with the Abbott opposition support. So as you say that, it might be what people want to hear, the notion of governments and oppositions working together. It's usually not the reality. Are you tough enough to, if you were leader, to be pushing through difficult reform policy without the support of the opposition? Because the fact is, you're unlikely to get it.
Well, first of all, when we talk about strength, the Abbott government is strong on slogans. But what I'm strong on is building consensus. When I was the Parliamentary Secretary for Disabilities, frankly, whilst it was an important issue, didn't have its space on the national political stage. And Fran, the disability, most people said, well, it's not really the big national political issue. 5-6 years on, we've now got a national disability insurance scheme. And so what I was able to do is work with a whole lot of disempowered people, carers, adult parents of adult children with profound disabilities, and we turned a national focus onto it. And we even were able to work out how we fund it. So we achieved a national disability insurance scheme from scratch. When I was representing people in workplaces, what I learned is that if you've got the employees in one corner and the employer in the other, each of those parties could have a win occasionally, but when they were working together, then you had a whole workplace buzzing with productivity. So it's just who I am. I am a very different person to Tony Abbott. And I know that I actually think that people are hungry for leadership, which says we'll get people in the room. Now, you're right, you can't get everyone to agree with each other all the time. And sometimes you just got to push on. But what I believe is that for Australia to maintain its place in the world in the future, to maintain our living standards, we need to have more of the sort of opportunities that I put forward last night, where I was saying to Tony Abbott, we will give you the room to work on tax reform. Now, I put a caveat on it. It's got to be fair. I put another caveat, it's got to be fiscally responsible. We don't need any of these games where Tony Abbott is doing on childcare funding, where he says you to parents of 3 and 4 year olds, you can have an extra $30 a week. But by the way, parents of 6, 7 and 8 year olds are going to lose thousands of dollars in family payments. That's not reform. You know, sort of dividing the community is not reform. We've seen this complete debacle over paid parental leave. Tony Abbott's done a 360.
Well, let me just ask you about paid parental leave. Well, so we're talking to opposition leader Bill Shorten, because there's, you know, some ideas, as I said, some new policy ideas on in this speech. There's also plenty of politics. And you say quite clearly about this budget, Tony Abbott has only changed his tactics. He hasn't changed his mind. Now, one area where he's clearly changed his mind is on paid parental leave. And they've changed not just his mind, they've changed their policy on paid parental leave. And you don't like that.
Well, no, I think what Tony Abbott's done is he's gone back to what he always was. I think his support for a roll gold paid parental leave scheme was a tactic to say that Tony Abbott was a modern man. He wasn't, that he was beyond his narrow thinking. But he's reverted to type here. So I actually think the real Tony Abbott's emerged. And with this whole budget, you know, my critique of the budget is that it wasn't future focused. It wasn't about building confidence in the long term. And it's based on three sets of shonky assumptions. One, that they can keep just cutting to the states $80 billion to make the federal government's books look better. But, of course, that means that schools and hospitals will get cut all over Australia. And that is lazy, lazy management of the nation. You know, they're relying upon bracket creep. That's the sly hand of inflation, taking more money out of people as their wages go up and they move into higher tax brackets. And there is the old unfairness wrapped up in new trickery. So when it comes to paid parental leave, you know, we know that his ministers are going out saying that people, both in the private sector and nurses and police and others in the public sector, who've negotiated 6 or 8 weeks additional parental leave on top of the minimum which Labor provides, somehow he says there are rorters and double dippers. Now, I think that's a shameful attack on working women, frankly. If you've
negotiated... Yes, but if you cut away the rhetoric, I agree with you, that's a negotiated workplace entitlement that's in place. But for a lot of people who are in working for small businesses that can't afford to have workplace schemes, and they look on and they say, hang on, I'm a taxpayer and I'm paying for that public servant to get 12 weeks and then to get 18 weeks, all from the public purse. Is there an issue there? Sure, it's been negotiated. It's not unfair. It's not rorting. It's not fraudulent. But is there an issue there we need to look at in terms of the design?
Well, first of all, we have the leaders of the nation engaging in dog whistling and dividing the community. I think the way they're handling paid parental leave highlights some of the differences in the sort of character that Tony Abbott is to who I am. You know, they love bashing public servants and saying small business good, public servants bad. There's coded language. You know that. I know that. And I think we actually want better from our leaders. But what I would say is last night I stood up and said Labor is prepared to engage on the field of policy to improve the lot of small business in this country. I just don't have a winners and losers mentality where therefore I've got to, you know, give a kick to working women who've negotiated a condition. And when we talk about the absolute amounts of money, Labor introduced a scheme which is the minimum. Tony Abbott, in some Monty Python-like script, is effectively turning into the maximum, because what he's sent is a signal to Australia, private sector Australia, and all employers, and he's said, well, by the way, if you give your staff, your women staff in particular, a few more weeks to spend a time with a newborn child, you'll be penalised and you won't get the government minimum. Now, we all know that human behaviour is human behaviour. So what will happen is that condition will be converted into some other benefit. And in the meantime, kids, newborn children, will have less time with their mums.
Okay. It's 10 minutes to 8. Just finally and briefly, Bill Shorten, on another issue away from your budget, we've been discussing this morning the renewable energy target. A deal is very close to being done. Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute has told us this morning the government plans to redefine. He believes the government is thinking about redefining biomass as renewable energy, and that would in fact significantly erode the share of the RET for wind and solar. Let's have a listen.
It looks like the government is trying to pull the wool over not just Labor's eyes but the public eyes, and the safest way to prevent Labor falling into that trap is to simply ensure that at the same time the legislation's being changed to put a new target in, that the legislation is changed to ensure that these definitional tricks aren't used to undermine genuine investment.
Now, I wonder if you think there is a definitional trick about to be played, or Labor is going to insist on excluding bioenergy, biomass from the definition of renewable energy in legislation?
I think the way the government, Tony Abbott and his team, have handled the future of renewable energy is a complete disgrace. Before the last election, both parties went to the election with agreed policies saying we should have a renewable energy target at a certain level. Tony Abbott doesn't believe in anything other than what he can do to get people to vote for him.
So, on this, we're almost out of time. Will Labor insist on a definition in the legislation?
The Woodwaste issue is a red herring. I've led the Labor Party to try and do a compromise because that's what industry, that's what the experts say is the best thing to do. Tony Abbott should stop mucking around with these last-minute acts of sabotage and just get on and do a deal so billions of dollars of investment has certainty and thousands of people keep their jobs. And, you know, the other thing which they've done at the last minute, which is outrageous, is they've said they want to have another review of the target in 2 years. Why is it that this so-called Conservative coalition government is addicted to sovereign risk and regulatory uncertainty? Are they so political that they just can't see the benefit of renewable energy to our energy future in Australia?
Bill Shorten, we've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Opposition leader Bill Shorten.